Starting the podcast.
This is episode number 114 of the Android Buffet Podcast, recorded September 24th, 2012. In 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. To episode number 114 of the Android Buffet Podcast. I am once again here and not somewhere else.
Me too.
Hi, Jerry.
Hello.
It's so lovely to see you today.
What? You have cameras installed? You're looking at me?
Well, this is why I point my camera at the wall. Just in case somebody secretly turns it on, all they're going to get is Pirate's Cove Beach.
Oh.
I think that's the name of my wall. At least according to the Benjamin Moore catalog.
All right. You said this is episode 114, right?
Yes, it is.
So, can we talk about the number 114?
Yes, we can.
The number of chapters in the Quran.
Is it?
That's what I'm told. I have not read the Quran, so I can neither confirm nor deny that. But that's what I've read.
Okay.
It's also a Harshad number.
If you are an expert on the Quran and or Harshad numbers, you should certainly send in your comments to podcast@androidbuffet.com.
Okay, so a Harshad number is kind of interesting.
Share with me, Jerry.
So you take the digits, you sum them up. If the number is divisible by that sum, it's a Harshad number. So 114, 1 plus 1 plus 4 is 6. And 114 divided by 6 is 19. So it's a Harshad number. Interestingly enough, it's also a sphenic number. Now you got to ask me what a sphenic number is.
What is a sphenic number?
A sphenic number is a number that is the product of three different primes. In this case, 19 is a prime, 3 is a prime, and 2 is a prime. And 19 times 2 times 3 is 114. So it's a sphenic number. And it's also an abundant number, also known as an excessive number. But I don't know. I don't get it. I don't understand what an abundant number is.
Well, you know more about math than I do. I was never enjoyed math in school. I had one teacher who was really good at teaching math, and it was more enjoyable. But the rest of them always seem to make it so boring. You need a good teacher to teach math. I'm not sure what you think about that from your experience.
I like math.
Yeah, but I'm talking about whether or not you think you need somebody who can make the subject come alive. I think they're just not... It's very hard to make that happen because most math classes focus on procedure as opposed to practicality. When was the last time that you heard somebody sitting in a math class being told, well, this is how you are going to use this in real life? So you never have an emotional connection to your topic.
Oh, I always had an emotional connection to math. I see math in everything.
Well, so do I. I have algebra, teachers in my family.
Trigonometry. I mean, I find it all useful and relevant. I'm weird, though.
So, yeah, no, I agree with you. I'm just saying that's why there's often a problem. Because you keep doing problem after problem, and no one ever talks about, well, when am I going to use this? What cool things can I do within real-world applications? That's never covered as part of the class. That you have to do with your own learning. And I think that that's a faulty assumption of math education.
Oh, maybe it's because I did have...
good teachers.
Yeah, and they did that.
Yeah. Well, you know,
and I know that my daughter, who's in first grade, you know, she's only doing addition and subtraction, and, you know, they're doing a light intro to algebra. And they're making it very, you know, related to real life. But I imagine at that age, you kind of have to.
Yes. If Jerry appears on one podcast and Guru appears on two podcasts and they appear on one podcast together, how many podcasts have they produced?
47. Or apparently 114.
115.
115.
We started at zero.
We did.
But you weren't here for all of them. So you've been here for, I think, 113. Anyway, that said, how was your week, Jerry?
It has its ups. It has its downs. So let's start with the ups. Our last show was on Wednesday. On Thursday, I bought a condo. completely unexpectedly.
How does one unexpectedly buy a condo?
You know, you trip, you fall, and you accidentally sign a contract.
Why did you buy a condo? Let's avoid the...
Okay, so...
Let's avoid the mechanics and go for the reasoning.
My wife and I want to invest in property. We bought one house and renovated it and are currently renting it out. So, and we bought it about a year ago, so it's time for us to buy another one. So we've been, you know, perusing the market for the last couple months.
So this is an investment property, not a residential property?
We don't know yet. We really like it.
So you might move there and rent out your current property?
Yes.
Yeah, well, good luck. Is there still room for me to come and visit?
Sure.
Okay. You know, my philosophy is I don't know if I will come and visit, but I like to be prepared. Mm-hmm. Also, Jerry, if just to cover all bases, if you ever win a major award, I'd like to be invited to the award ceremony. Also, if you want to thank me in your award speech, I want to cover that too. Also, if you win the lottery,
okay.
Throwing a little my way might not be. Okay. I want to cover all bases.
Okay. So I bought a condo, right? Yes. And the way the law works, condos have monthly fees that pay the association so that they can take care of the grounds, repair the buildings, maintain the pool, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
So I bought the house on the county courthouse steps, as it were.
Okay, so a distressed property.
No, it's actually in amazingly good condition.
No, I meant economically, as in somebody defaulted on something.
Right. Well, before they defaulted on the banknote, they defaulted to the association, so the association had taken title to the place. And I was going by the property manager's office to get an idea of how far behind the place was in its assessments, and they told me $10,000. But when I got there, I dropped my phone.
Yeah.
And it landed in just the right way and in just the right spot, I guess on a rock or something, that it jammed the power button. So I couldn't unpress the power button, so it turned off, and I couldn't turn it back on.
Okay.
And I had a meeting in like 20 minutes after this happened, and I was 35 minutes away from my house. I was able to use a USB to PS2 adapter to unjam the power button, but now my phone's really messed up, and I'm debating about whether I want to do file an insurance claim on it.
Okay, I hope
so. It was a really good week, and it was a really crummy week too.
Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you my story. It didn't involve any home purchase or condo.
Mine started with a home purchase.
I'm saying there was no home purchase in my week.
All right.
I remain not owning any property, at least any property that involves ground, you know, or dirt. Anyway,
it doesn't have to involve ground.
Okay, but I do not
anyway,
own any,
carrying on.
Yes, I do not own any residential property. My property is all personal and can be put into a truck. Except the car, but so let's see.
You can put a car into a truck. It's got to be a big truck, but
yeah. Well, I don't think I could fit the car and all my personal possessions into one truck. Maybe two trucks.
Mm.
But why don't I just drive the car and have one truck? Anyway,
who's going to drive the truck?
The truck driver.
Oh, your trucks come with truck drivers?
If I'm renting one.
Oh, they don't here. Here, if you rent a truck, you get a truck and keys.
It depends on who you rent it from. I'll hire a professional driver.
Okay.
I'm not driving a truck.
Carrying on.
Yes. So we left off on Wednesday. On Thursday, I went to work, as I normally do on Thursday. And on Friday, I said, well, you know, on Thursday, I got very wound up at work. You know, it's been a hard week. You know, there was a holiday, and it's been very busy for the last few weeks, as you've heard a few stories. I got wound up to the point my boss was telling me to not worry about things.
Wow.
That doesn't happen very often. In my experience, bosses don't say, that's my problem, don't worry about it. It's usually, this is what you do because it's my problem and I'm delegating, sort of thing.
Depends on your boss, but
no, I'm saying,
understood.
Well, no, my boss is very, you know, he has his areas that he works on, but he's very, you know, our company is trying to transition to the idea of boss as coach, which is the new management philosophy. So your boss isn't sitting there ordering people around. He's the coach. So you do your thing. He does his thing. And when there's something a decision that needs to be made, he will be the one, you know, guiding the decision-making. So he has a very laissez-faire pull. Anyway, so during the course of my Thursday night, I took my lunch break from work and I went for a drive to try to relax. That didn't work. So on Friday, I decided, you know, I had a few errands to run. I would take a leisurely drive and come home and get some stuff done, including spending time with you, Jerry. But obviously, you know, that didn't work out. So I had to go to Costco to pick up some tuna fish. They make really good tuna fish.
Okay.
So I discovered that I was not in possession of my Costco card, which doubles as my American Express card. Turns out I left it at the place I went to relax at the night before.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was, of course, a good part. Then, of course, I started to hook up my work equipment, which I had taken with me for the holidays so that I wouldn't have to drive just before the holiday and risk traffic, and I'd work from my relative's house, which I'll be doing again tomorrow. And Time Warner Cable has apparently changed something. So whenever I change my router, I have to call them to do a reset. Meanwhile, I have a burnt-out cable box.
It's telling me doing the reset on the router is an automated process, right? You don't have to talk to a human.
No, reset on the modem.
Or reset on the modem.
Well, that depends on your opinion. I'm saying their automated system is doing it, but their supervisor says, oh, we don't have an automated system to do that.
Wow, so, that's confidence-inspiring.
Yeah. So for the burnt-out cable box, I said, well, we have an appointment on Sunday night, which surprised me because I usually don't get appointments on Sunday nights, and I've been calling Time Warner for years. They gave me a two-hour window, and ultimately, just to skip ahead with what happened to that, I got a phone call 30 minutes into the two-hour window that no one would be coming. Apparently, the cable guy got into a car accident and had to cancel all of his appointments.
Wow.
Yes, my thoughts and prayers go out to the cable guy. I hear he was not seriously injured. It was just a fender bender. But as it appears to have caused him some sort of anguish, I am going to express my sympathies. So my cable issue is not yet resolved.
I'm sorry.
Well, it gets better. That took talking to the cable company about my internet problem took about 3 hours.
Wow. And
that isn't very relaxing, by the way.
No.
As I tried to explain to them that I do not want to have to call them every time I unhook a router and put a new one in, and that power cycling the modem used to work, but now apparently it doesn't. They were nice enough to suggest that perhaps I'd like to get a second line for my work stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I explained to them I would be happy to get a second line if they didn't want to charge me for it, since I have no need for a second line. But if they want to install one for free, I'm all for it. Anyway. Then, of course, my AV receiver decided to no longer offer V. And I don't know about you, but when you're trying to watch television, only having A doesn't really work for you.
Really?
Have you ever tried to watch television without any V?
Yes.
How is that
watching? I don't watch it, I listen to it.
Yeah, but that sort of defeats the purpose.
Especially a show that I've seen before.
I don't want to watch shows I've seen before. I want to watch shows that I haven't seen.
How many times have you watched Back to the Future?
That's a movie. Either way, I can't watch any video. And besides, if you don't see Back to the Future, you miss all the inside jokes.
Right, but you already know the inside joke, so the audio could just remind you of it, and it's just as good.
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to go with not so good. So I had to order a new receiver. There's $200 I sort of didn't want to spend this week. You spent more this week, though. So.
Well, when I say I unexpectedly bought the condo, we were looking at to buy another house.
No, I'm saying you...
And the price was just really, really good, so...
I'm just saying that you spent more money this week than I did, if you purchased property. Yeah. I bought a new AV receiver, and I'm going to try to get them to fix the old one anyway, but they said that might take 2 to 3 months. It's technically still under warranty. I bought it in February of 2011. On an unrelated note, if anybody knows anybody who'd like to buy an HDMI-capable AV receiver once it returns from factory refurbishment, I'll give you a great deal, because I'll end up with two, and I don't need to. I'm just not waiting 3 months, possibly less, to get one. Although the new one has an Android app. Isn't that exciting?
Yay! Yeah.
Speaking of Android, now that we've gone through that, tomorrow, by the way, is tomorrow night it would be the start of Yom Kippur, so there, I will be unavailable on Wednesday if anybody has any email. We did get some email this week, by the way.
What?
Yes. We got an email from a listener in Germany.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't see that coming.
I could, try to adopt a German accent to read his message, but I want to keep our listener in Germany, so I'm not going to.
Good call.
Hello, Guru and Jerry. I have been listening to your podcast on my way to work for a few dozen episodes now, and I'd like to thank you for making some otherwise dull hours of watching other cars' backsides fun. Your calm style is a welcome alternative to the overdone intonation and the desperate need to find one another outrageously hilarious as found in many other podcasts of various topics. Also, you don't ramble on when there is nothing more to say. That goes well with my disability to tolerate information or opinion I heard seconds before, because I have the seemingly rare problem of catching things the first time I hear them. Please keep up the good work.
That's funny.
Today, I had episode 113 on, and I'd like to comment on the part where you discussed DVI, HDMI, and VGA interoperability. With DVI, you need to separate analog and digital signals, as the standard and most graphic cards output support both. The analog one is basically VGA and can be wired to such a connector by the well-known adapters. The digital signal is compatible to HDMI, but of course lacks the audio signal part carried there. But there is no conversion of signals going on there with DVI to HDMI or VGA cables. All is provided by the signal source. Conversion can either be done, can be done either way with dedicated electronics, but the quality usually suffers. Also, Jerry, with modern graphics cards and monitors. Yes?
I want to make sure I understand what he's saying.
Yeah.
So he's saying that on a normal DVI connector on your video card,
yes,
there are pins that carry an analog signal and there are pins that carry a digital signal.
Correct.
And when you hook up a DVI to VGA, it's connecting to the analog. And when you do a DVI to HDMI, it's plugging in to the digital.
Correct.
Which is why you can't do a VGA to DVI to HDMI, because
yes,
the pins would not be connected to anything.
Exactly. Okay.
Makes sense.
Also, Jerry, with modern graphics cards and monitors, there usually isn't any digital to analog conversion going on anymore. So your "that's what graphic cards basically are" statement is outdated. Also, as a proposal for Guru's Junkyard project, you might want to include some information on what graphics cards or whatever comes next exactly you are willing to give away. Probably better placed in the show notes, though. Not that I would like to have one, no thanks, just saying. Finally, I have a question for you to discuss. Doesn't it bother you at all that the Nexus 7 wastes screen space with a status and a navigation bar, as opposed to the way 7-inch devices worked under ICS? There is a custom ROM for phones that supports tablet-style UI with one combined bar on a much smaller screen called Paranoid Android, and with larger phones, it actually looks and feels good. I personally don't like 7-inch devices, as the screen is not much bigger than my phone, a Galaxy S3. And even taking away some of that without need was a bad move, in my humble opinion. Greetings from Germany, Stefan Eckhart.
What a most amazing and excellent email.
I found it most enjoyable. In response to the Nexus 7, you have the Nook Color still, and it has that combined bar.
Yes.
So you're familiar with that, and I am too. The Nexus 7 has the on-screen buttons in the same general position as the physical buttons you'd have on a more traditional phone. But it still has the status bar at the top that would be also traditional on a phone.
I'd like to be clear. I don't like the combined status bar and buttons.
But it's a choice.
Yes.
I don't mind if you say, I don't want both bars. I only want one bar. I think that's actually a reasonable idea. Now, the thing is that Jelly Bean actually does offer what he's suggesting. The Nexus 7 uses the phone configuration for some reason, so it's designed to have both bars, whereas a 10-inch tablet would still use the ICS configuration, which had everything on one bar, without the upper bar. And I'd say there's a case for both. There are people who actually hacked the Nexus 7 to change. There's a setting you change that would actually make it do the behavior that he's outlining. So if you like it, just it's a minor change in the phone's build prop. You would just get what you want, I guess. I'm leaving it stock for now, but we also got an email from Michael Pardo. Good morning, Guru and Jerry. Although I have great enthusiasm for your current theme music, one of my favorite songs, I offer the following suggestion in your quest for a replacement. He has sent us a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike song. I haven't heard this from Jamendo, which is a site that allows you to get Creative Commons type music.
Light it up.
Let's see if I can listen to this. It's Escape Philosophy by artist Nelson Jenstad ELE. Can I play this without having to download it? Listen now. I'm hitting the listen now button. It isn't quite working. Maybe.
That sounds so familiar.
It's an original composition. How do I make it stop? Oh, there it is.
I like it.
So we will entertain, I will put a link to that in the show notes. We will entertain feedback on whether or not you would like us to replace the traditional song or supplement it, alternate it. Feedback is good. So tell us what you think of that suggestion.
Rock on. Another most excellent email.
Also, I think we have voicemails. I haven't heard any of them because I like to be surprised. Also, I never remember to come into this room and load up the one system that actually has the voicemails from that account. Let me pull it. Okay.
Hello, Guru. Hello, Jerry. Jerry, I ain't gonna lie. I'm like this close, which you can't see, of course. But I'm this close to being inspired to lose some weight of my own. I'm just not that far yet. And just to make this official, Guru, I'm not offering you sex. But I would really love to hear both of you guys losing weight and doing better. Super quick, on Android, multiple file types, audio, the issue. Really, there's two issues. The default Gmail application only wants to download or save some certain file type. So to get around that, I use attach my file. 99% is the name of it. Attach my file. That will let you save any attachment coming in from Gmail. Now, that wasn't your issue, but that could be an issue, so I'm mentioning that. Now, to play audio on Android. The default kernel is almost random what it supports. Some phones support all, some phones don't. Some tablets do, some tablets don't. And a lot of players are too lazy to supply their own codec. With that said, I highly encourage you to take a look at the VLC beta for Android. They do have nightly build. You have to know your processor type. With that, I use App Garden Lite. I just go down to, I believe, system information, and it will tell you, for instance, ARM V7. So then I know when I go to the VLC nightly build, I look for ARM V7. Then I know which version to download. I have had, dare I say, tremendous success with that application. I mean, the desktop version, we all know, plays everything. The mobile version is one way to be just as stellar, and I love it. I don't know what that was. All right, guys, I will definitely talk to you soon. Please keep up the good podcast. And I'm almost ashamed to say I never subscribed to Flying Bathtub, but I guess it's just not going anywhere. I didn't miss much. All right, fellas, take it easy. Bye.
How was that?
I could hear it.
Any comments?
VLC will play everything. There's no doubt about that. And it's got its own built-in, or, you know, the big deal about VLC as a player is that it uses the FFmpeg decoders, so.
Well, you can, a lot of programs use them, though.
Yeah, well, especially on Linux, not so much on Windows.
But on Android, a lot, because it does have a Linux ancestor.
Yes, but I don't think using shared libraries works as well on Android as it does on, say, a normal Linux box.
It does for third-party applications, but it requires an increased level of complexity. So if you don't use built-in stuff, you have to do more.
Mm.
But we do have a follow-up voicemail.
Hello, Guru. Hello, Jerry. This is a half an hour in my time, but only a second to your listeners. That's amazing. I'm not calling up to say I'm not satisfied in Jerry's weight loss, and I'm still not offering Guru sex. But I will say I was wrong about the name of the application to save attachments in Gmail. Surprisingly enough, the application is called Save My Attach. That's Save My Attach. I've had it since Froyo days. Still works great. Love it. Need it. Have to have it. All right, guys. Take it easy.
I say that guy deserves a prize. So I'm going to send him that Blazing Saddles movie.
All right.
How's that?
Well, as long as you don't send him any sex. Where did that come from? Did I forget something? Did I miss something?
You were talking about how your weight loss has improved your relations with
yes.
Your wife, and I was commenting that I didn't have that problem. Oh. Anyway, if the Door-to-Door Geek would send us a copy of his address, I will arrange for a movie to go out to him of some sort or another. On that note, before I forget, I finally got around to mailing today to Knucklehead Tech in Idaho his Gershwin tapes. So I would love it if you would like to drop us a line telling us how you're enjoying your Gershwin. Maybe you'd like to sing us a few bars or hum, or just tell us if you're not so musically inclined. And I am waiting for the other Idaho resident to tell me whether or not he would accept a non-HDMI card, because I seem to be out of HDMI cards. They're all installed in something. So if you'd like one that offers DVI, as you know from our listener mail, you can get a DVI to HDMI converter, which will not allow you to carry audio, but you can still enjoy your video. Right, Jerry?
You know, I think there is a DVI spec that includes audio. And in which case you could have a DVI to HDMI
DisplayPort adapter
that includes video.
DisplayPort does, but I don't think DVI does. We'll wait to hear back from our German listener on that. I can go look it up myself, but it's much more fun if somebody tells us. Let's get to some news. It's taken us half an hour. Anyway, let's see. News. Oh, okay. Clifford the Big Red Dog has turned 50. No comment, Jerry?
My daughter's got some Spanish books that are Clifford the Big Red Dog, but she's not a real big Clifford the Big Red Dog fan.
But it's a 50-year anniversary, and I like to mention the big ones.
Yuck, big.
Funny and thing. I was telling you, separate from the podcast, that a previous literary reference that I had mentioned, The Death of Harry Harrison, Macmillan Publishing has put some of Harry Harrison's classic science fiction novels up for Kindle, including one of my favorite time travel books, The Technicolor Time Machine, which is the story of what would happen if Hollywood invested in time travel. It is a classic 1967 novel, and I do recommend it. And Jerry, I look forward to, if you have time, you reading it and giving me your opinion, and we can have a book discussion.
Ooh.
Yes. I also started a new book of my own, a Kindle single by Jeff Jarvis called Gutenberg the Geek. I've been meaning to get around to that. I've silenced you again, Jerry.
Yeah, I have no comment.
Oh. Well, I was thinking how fascinating it was that I was reading about two people who had so much in common in Germany. One would be Johannes Gutenberg of Mainz, and the other was the mythical figure Rabbi Amnon, also of Mainz. I've been in a religious mood lately. It's the holiday season. He comes up a lot during Yom Kippur. Anyway, moving along. What if your wireless carrier paid you to sign up new customers? There's a new MVNO operating on T-Mobile that would offer unlimited text, talk, and 4 gigabytes of data service for $49 a month. And for each person you refer to them, you get $20 off of your bill.
Forever?
Apparently. It's a pyramid scheme from what it sounds like, but they claim it isn't. So if it's
forever, that would be cool.
Isn't it? I think there are some limitations, but apparently it is forever. So as long as you continue to advocate and get more people to sign up, you could pay nothing.
Wow.
Elsewhere, AT&T awarded an 11-year-old with $20,000 for an anti-texting while driving app. Users of the app can be placed into packs, with other members of the pack able to check if anyone is texting while driving. And if they are, barking sounds can be sent remotely to the offending user until they stop. As an app developer, Jerry, do you think this is a good app?
No.
I don't really like the barking idea.
No.
But it was worth $20,000. Then again, it's free publicity. I like involving the next generation in app development. Don't you?
I'm sorry, what?
I like involving the next generation in app development.
No, I think it's great that an 11-year-old wrote an app, but...
Apparently they had help from an adult. Apparently they came up with the idea and assisted. I don't know the extent to which their assistance was.
Okay.
The Verizon CFO commented, "Unlimited is just a word. It doesn't really mean anything. A lot of consumers think they consume a lot more data than they really do."
Okay.
So what do you think? Is unlimited just a word, Jerry?
I think that the definition of a word implies meaning. What is the definition of a word?
Jerry is looking up word now.
Distinct meaningful element or speech or writing.
Well, you know what they say.
Meaningful.
Unlimited is just another word for overage.
Word.
Was that a, like, you know, word acknowledgement, like word or word?
Like word, dude. Word.
People still say word?
I don't know. I'm not cool, so.
Neither am I. We're square. They still use square?
No.
What's the opposite of cool? Lame?
Yeah, could be. Okay.
If you know what we are, namely the opposite of cool, please send us an email. Podcast at Android Buffet. Voicemails are also welcome, 201 to Winnica. Moving along, Google News has turned 10. It now draws from 50,000 news sources, offers 72 editions in 30 languages. Happy birthday.
Yay.
Google Play is now on Twitter. And they may offer special promotions. They now have a Twitter account.
Interesting.
I like special promotions. They're special. And they're promotions. iOS's lead over Android in app monetization is shrinking. While apparently Android monetizes less well per user, the cost to acquire a user are lower. So sometimes profitability in the aggregate is higher. Your thoughts, Jerry, as a developer?
I think the...
Come on, we want to be more interesting than the backside of a car. I'm sorry, I couldn't resist.
That was funny. I think Apple development is dying out. It's just they're losing relevancy.
Are you telling
me? In my opinion.
Are you telling me that you didn't see people camped out at the local Apple store?
It's so they could calm down.
I always thought that was so
they could. Developers are concerned. Just it's a pain in the butt to deal with them, and just my opinion.
Okay, well, you know that I am not a fan of Apple products for various reasons, but I don't want to discriminate against Apple people. I think they should be allowed to patronize the same restaurants as we do and all of the other important things.
Yep.
Yes. Moving along, Google Maps now syncs search and directions across devices, assuming you have web history enabled on your Google account. I think that's a nice feature.
Yep.
Google announces greater accessibility for Google Apps. You know, I was thinking about this today. I was talking to somebody who has an iPhone, and while I was talking to them on the phone, they had the accessibility on, or they require that. And they were complaining that every time they were having a lot of trouble every time they were trying to talk on the phone and also use it, it created issues. In my non-professional capacity, I suggested they might want to try an Android device.
Yeah.
I'd heard the new ones had good accessibility. If I intended on talking to that person again, I'd be interested to see if they tried it out.
Me too.
Well, unfortunately, this was a business relationship, and thus I don't follow up with people in the midst of business relationships in regards to their personal phone use.
Mm-hmm.
But it just made me think. Anyway, Google has announced greater accessibility for Google Apps, so now there will be additional features in Google Apps that will make it easier for accessibility, including keyboard shortcuts and related issues. So check out the article. Let's see, getting into some app news. Redbox has updated their app, offering better and actually existent search and sorting functions. So if you want to visit the local Redbox and rent your dollar or whatever movie, you now can better search through your options and reserve them without having to either go to your computer or stand outside in the cold. Hoping.
Interesting, because I've always found the Redbox app pretty good.
Well, apparently the search functions. A lot of people were saying it was hard to find what was in it. Apparently that's what they improved. I played with it a few times, but not enough to really get a sense of that. SpringPad was updated, offering simplified saving of things into your notebook and improved tablet view and more. Can I have a yay, Jerry? I always wanted to like SpringPad, but I've never really gotten into SpringPad or Evernote. Maybe it's just me.
Nope, not just you.
I'm just saying I've never found
out. I think it's really more pointed at, you know, college students or interior designers.
No, I've spoken to a lot of people who use it for organization, but I've just never figured out how to integrate it into what I do. Elsewhere, SoundCloud has been updated. They're offering new recording and trimming features. SoundCloud is social audio file sharing.
No.
Isn't it?
No.
I thought that was what it was.
SoundCloud does... Are you familiar with Gracenote?
How would you use SoundCloud?
You push the button and hold it up to a song, or you whistle into it and it identifies the song.
That's not SoundCloud. You're thinking of Shazam. SoundCloud
is
a...
Are you sure? Because I have SoundCloud. I mean, it came on my phone.
No. SoundCloud is a social sound platform where over 20 million registered users share original music, spoken word, comedy, radio shows, and other great sounds. With the SoundCloud app for Android, you can easily create, discover, browse, and listen to the sounds people share with you. So it's not only used for people sharing music, you know, of original creation as opposed to commercial music. Spoken word, comedy, for example, Lifehacker does a podcast, and they do it through SoundCloud, if I remember correctly.
I thought I had SoundCloud on my phone.
You could, I suppose, but I don't think you might be mixing it up with something else. Shazam is the one that I think does the audio thing. There's also another one whose name escapes me. Anyway, give it a shot if you're interested.
Okay, never mind.
It's actually very interesting, again, for podcasters. I know that a lot of people in news, you know, they'll go to events, they'll record little snippets on SoundCloud, later they'll incorporate it into a program. But I know somebody, there was some guy at ABC News who was using SoundCloud. He would go down to the Occupy Wall Street movement last year and record these interviews because ABC, or I think it was ABC or CBS, wouldn't give him the time, but he wanted to report on it. So he did it sort of unofficially.
Right.
Anyway, moving along, Opera Mini was updated to version 7.5, adding Smart Page, a dashboard view of the latest activity on your social networks, along with automatic news feeds from your favorite sites. And remember, Opera Mini is very popular because it offers data compression of websites. Admittedly, it goes through their server, but if you have a limited data connection, this may be something you want to look at.
I'm sad now.
Why? Tell me of your sadness, Jerry. Share with the group.
The idea is to... Well, what...
Goodness.
What was that?
I'm looking for SoundCloud on my phone, and I can't find it. I'm sad.
Are you sure you ever had it? Because you seem to have mixed it up with something else, but...
I know, right? Oh, well.
Hulu Plus, HBO Go, and Max Go have all been updated with closed captioning support. That's nice.
Yep, that's nice.
I hadn't realized this, but there is a MAME for Droid port. I didn't realize one would come out. So if you want to play your favorite arcade games on your phone or Android tablet, you now can. I've asked to be notified when they invent a Bluetooth arcade controller. Then I can play my absolute favorite arcade game.
Which is?
Tapper. I love Tapper.
I don't know what Tapper is.
That's where you serve beer to people. I used to play that as a kid. Basically, you serve beer to people, and if they get all the way to the end of the counter, they take you and throw you down the counter. And if one of the empty glasses gets all the way to the end of the counter and falls on the floor, you lose. So you have to prevent everybody from getting to the end of the counter, so you have to constantly refill their drinks.
What I have is SoundHound.
SoundHound, SoundCloud, potato, potato. Sorry, wrong app. Excuse me, I'm in a Tapper mood. Sorry, I'm imagining the 8-bit sound. Or was it 8-bit graphics? It was 8-bit something. Anyway, used to play that all the time. I miss it. Facebook and the Facebook Messenger app have been updated. They now offer support for sending text messages.
Yay.
If you are a patron of Dick's Sporting Goods, they now have an official Android app.
Nope.
The Roku app was updated. This is actually interesting. It offers a new feature, Play on Roku. So you can enjoy your photographs and music from your phone on your Roku, which I actually think is a very nice feature. So you install the app, you install a channel on your Roku box, and it will send audio from your device to your Roku. I think it's only music, though. And, of course, photos. But that's, I think, a nice idea.
Yep.
I think it adds to the utility of a $50 box. The call app contact center dialer is now back in the play market. It adds social, personal, and business info to the dialer. I actually installed this for about 5 minutes. It was very nice. I removed it, but it actually is very nice. I just didn't want to link all my social networks and get all this information covering my screen, but it is very useful if you want to have all that information at your fingertips. Give it a shot, Jerry.
Looks nice. No, I'm not.
It's very visually appealing.
Does it do landscape mode?
I didn't dial anybody. The app does landscape mode, but I did not dial anybody. Moving along, Bloomberg Radio Plus app offers live finance radio or on-demand finance radio.
Just what I always wanted.
If you're a finance person, why not?
Yep.
The official Twitter app was bumped to version 3.4, adding profile header images and photo streams. So the lovely people over at Twitter want to compete with Facebook and kill all the third-party photo add-ons. What else is new? Let's kill all of those developers who built their apps on our platform. Isn't that a great idea, Jerry?
It works for Walmart.
Well, it's just one of these things. You know, all these developers contributed. And I'm not saying that they didn't know that, you know, Twitter is a business and that Twitter shouldn't remain a business. But when you encourage developers and developers start adding to the value of your platform, and then you tell the developers, oh, you've added to the value of our platform, but all of a sudden we want to make more money, so we're going to make it so that you can't do that anymore. That just seems like a bad way to do business. I'm not saying that they don't have every right to do it. I'm just saying it seems like a bad way to do business to alienate the people who were bringing value to your platform. Now the only people they think bring value to their platform are celebrities. Who would you rather have, Jerry? Somebody like you, a developer? Or can you name a vapid celebrity? What's that guy's name? The Canadian guy. Bieber. Would you rather
have the question again?
Would you rather have somebody like you contributing to an ecosystem, or would you rather have a celebrity such as Mr. Bieber? What's his first name? The teen idol type guy.
Justin Bieber.
Isn't he his name? Is he the one I'm thinking of?
I have no idea.
I don't know. Some general celebrity who does not necessarily contribute intellectual or interesting discourse.
No, but he contributes a ton of users.
He does, but I'm asking, you know, it's more of a quality versus quantity argument, I think.
Yeah, but quantity brings money.
Quality brings money, too. You attract individuals who may want to give you money. I suppose it's
asked my opinion, and that's what it is.
I suppose it's an old argument. And we have a little topic today, since I was sort of talking about it last week.
Mm-hmm.
Bring your own device. A survey has found that 49% of U.S. workers who have moved to a bring your own device program, where they're allowed to choose their own devices and bring them and interface them with their work systems, have not been given a briefing on security issues. Your thoughts, Jerry?
I pay for my own plan. Am I BYOD?
Yes.
A security briefing.
Well, that's the thing. Do you feel that when a company allows you to access your email account from your system as opposed to their company-issued system, and they allow you to access potentially classified information. Now, admittedly, you're a knowledgeable computer-based individual. But for the average person, do you think a company should, you know, give you, let's say, 5 minutes and, you know, a little list of basic things you should do?
I would argue that there would be no difference between a cell phone and their home computer.
Yeah, but your home
computer. If they're going to access their email on their home computer, they should receive the same type of security, the same level of security briefing that they would if they're going to access it on their phone.
I agree. It's just the reason why phones should require a higher level of security briefing is you could lose your phone in a bar. Like, what was that guy who lost the iPhone 4 a few years back who started that whole... I don't remember. Anyway, you could lose... Essentially, your phone is on you all the time, and it could easily be pickpocketed or something like that. Your computer is behind closed doors and locked up, at least. So there's physical.
Your home computer is more likely to be compromised by, bad software.
No, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying it's a different set of instructions. It's not necessarily that they shouldn't. I think they should give security instructions to everybody. The types of passwords that my company allows people to assign or bother me on a security level. For the longest time, they actually set a bunch of employees' passwords to password and wouldn't let them change it.
That's funny.
Don't get me started. It's changed a little, but that was one of those things that I used to laugh at when I first started there. Of course, when I first started there, we were still using Windows 3.11, and I've been working there less than a decade. But anyway, jokes about how technology can occasionally move slowly at certain businesses. Aside, more and more people want to bring their own device to work, and companies have to come up with reasonable policies that give them the freedom to do what they want while not impacting the company's concern about their information. So I was talking to you about Touchdown, which I had been trying, which is an expensive product, by the way. For an app, $20 is pretty expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But Exchange allows your employer to issue a remote wipe of your phone, assuming they've set that security policy. Touchdown isolates that, so if they initiate a remote wipe, it will just wipe the data within Touchdown, and it will not wipe the entire phone.
Which I like.
And so do I. I was willing to pay for that feature. But also you have things like making your employees use a PIN code. I know you hate PIN codes, and I know you hate pattern locks, Jerry.
Well, they're just not relevant for my life.
Yeah, but I understand
the value of them.
I can understand why a business would say to unlock your work stuff, you need to enter in a pattern or a password.
Mm-hmm.
That's protection. I understand why a business would say, if your phone is lost, we want the ability to delete that information from the phone remotely. These are all things that businesses need to develop. They need to have official policies, and they need to teach employees. And it's not like it's a day-long seminar. This is like a 20-minute conversation, possibly a little handbook, you know, a little pamphlet. Welcome to the wonderful world of Bring Your Own Device. Allowing you to use your own device is a privilege, not a right. In order for you to use your own device with our work systems, we must ensure that your device is secure. Thus, you must follow the following protocols. Insert protocols here. You think there would be outrage if somebody did this?
No.
I think it's very reasonable. So I thought it was a good topic of discussion. So since last week I was talking about Exchange, this week I wanted to open up to the floor, should anybody like to send us a message, you and your experience with companies and their bring-your-own-device policies. I think that's a good topic to ask for feedback on, don't you, Jerry?
I like it.
Yes. How do your employers let you use your own personal devices for work use? No holds barred, as usual. Anything you want to talk about is still free game. This is just a little guided discussion. And, Jerry, just to go over a few things, did you know that should you want to contact us, that you can call us at 201-2-WENECA, W-E-N-E-C-A?
I was completely unaware of that.
Yes, you'll hear Susan, our old retired narrator and announcer. I haven't heard from her lately. I wonder if she got a new job. I wonder if she got a new job.
I hope not.
What, you want her to come back?
I didn't like her.
Well, you know, unemployment being the way it is, she might not be employed. Anyway, let me think what else. Oh, yes. If you don't like that, you can record your voicemail and you can send us a link or an attachment, assuming it's a reasonable size. It can be an attachment. If it's a gigantic size, please store it somewhere and link to it. Maybe you want to store it over at SoundCloud. They have an Android app. And, of course, you can always just write us an email, podcast@androidbuffet. You can tweet us. @AndroidBuffet. You can send a message to our Google Plus page run by associate producer Kevin McLaughlin over at Google Plus. You can find Jerry at jerry.jones@gmail.com. Should you wish to only talk to Jerry, bear in mind if you send an email to podcast, I will read it on the show and Jerry will hear it. Right, Jerry?
That's the way it should work.
Yes. Sometimes I surprise you and send it in advance, but I like to hear your honest and candid response. It's much more fun.
I loved our feedback this week. That was just friggin' awesome.
That's why I like it. I like that you can express your response on the air as it happens. It's, you know, I think it's so much more genuine. Anyway, let me think. What else can you do? You can do all those things. You can find me on Twitter at @GadgetWisdom, although I also monitor the Android Buffet account if you send something there. And of course, since I'm the one who reads the emails to Jerry, if you send an email to podcast@AndroidBuffet, I'll read that too. We are still waiting to hear from people with some addresses for me to send them some thing from Guru's Junkyard. And let me see if I have a special Guru's Junkyard item for this week. I have just the thing. It is a 3-channel frequency agile digital modulator. So you can take your 3 video sources. I always get this wrong. It's composite, that's the little yellow cable.
Yes.
You can take your composite video sources plus an audio source in 3.5 millimeter. And you can output 3 different channels onto a UHF or cable TV line, merge it with your cable TV, and watch something. Wiring not included. Box only.
It's actually kind of cool.
Yes.
It's like an RF modulator, but
it's
3 of them in one box.
Yes, and it has a little digital screen. You can put it on a UHF frequency. Cool. So if you're interested, this device will be provided to you at no charge. Again, wiring not included, and I do not remember what the voltage was on the input. So you may end up plugging something in and burning it out because I can't remember what the voltage was. I'll see
and
if I
remember that it's it is standard definition, not high definition.
Correct. I will try to find the power cable for this device. It must be somewhere. You know, since everything went digital in this neighborhood, there wasn't much point in pumping an analog signal into 3 channels. I used to use it to send television around the house so I wouldn't have to have as many cable boxes. But I switched to a DVR, so it's been sitting in a box for years. If you're interested, once again, send us a voicemail, send us something entertaining, and if you can entertain our listeners, you will get a device.
Or us. Entertaining us counts too.
Yes, if we're amused, you're entitled to something. Remember, for financial reasons, I am unable to ship outside of the United States, and I will be shipping using the cheapest method available. Should you wish me to ship outside of the United States, I will welcome a donation, and I will be happy to do it. So I will take the time to go to the post office and figure out how much it would cost, but since I am doing all of the shipping out of my own pocket, there's a limit to how much I'm willing to spend. Sorry. I don't feel bad. I'm giving away free stuff. Anyway.
You should feel bad.
That I'm not willing to ship to overseas?
Yep.
I'll compromise on Canada, though. The last time I sent a small package about the size of those Gershwin tapes to Canada, it cost me $5.
Wow.
I can't imagine how much Europe would cost. Probably $20 just for a little package. But, again, I'm willing to compromise on these issues. And, of course, everybody who gets a device also gets a free complimentary Android Buffet postcard or business card inside their envelope.
Oh, my God. Order now.
Yes.
Quantities are limited.
Well, they are, because I don't want to have to reprint them so soon. Actually, I'll do it if I have to. I don't have that many postcards. I think I only bought 50 of them. Or was it 100? I can't even remember how many postcards I ordered. It was a year ago. Anyway, that brings us to the end of our program this evening. Jerry, do you have any final thoughts before we do our little wrap-up?
I'm thoughtless.
No, you aren't, Jerry. You are a very intelligent and interesting individual. That's why I hang out with you.
Oh. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's kind words.
Well, now you have a condo, and I was thinking of taking my vacation in the Jacksonville, Orlando, Tampa area. Anyway, jokes aside, just remember we are again a member of the Tech Podcast Network. Let's run the randomizer and see what program I can randomly tell you about this week. The randomizer being whatever some guy released this week. Isn't that a wonderful randomizing function?
Yep.
Whatever they happen to have on their website. Here we are, the most recent Tech Podcast episodes. Ah, I have just the one. Tech Chop. Tech Chop, formerly Bauer Power TV, aims at providing you with a weekly dose of techie know-how, sweet software, tips, tricks, and other geeky goodness for intermediate to advanced Windows or Linux admins. This week's episode is How to Configure Mac Filtering in a Windows DHCP Server. Check it out.
Interesting.
I like to be nice. Remember, you know, they did throw some advertising our way.
They did?
They're the ones who arranged the GoToMeeting spots. Still waiting for another spot from them. It's better than me trying to ask for donations.
True.
Yeah. But you have free choice. Anyway, moving along, we are also a member of the Weneca Media Group. Just a bunch of guys who lose money on hosting a bunch of sites. On a positive note, I am heading to the birthplace of the Weneca Media Group.
You're doing what? Say it isn't so.
We have a P.O. box in the middle of nowhere. You didn't know that? I actually deliberately put the P.O. box in a post office in upstate New York. I'm going to visit the post office. That's how the Weneca Media Group was born. It was a frantic discussion during a Jewish holiday. Anyway, long story there. But that's why the post office box for the Weneca Media Group is in upstate New York. That's where we were sitting around having the discussion about what we wanted to do and decided a bunch of us would start this.
All right.
It expanded beyond that, but it started around a religious holiday where a bunch of us happened to be hanging around. You know, festive meals take a long time.
Sure, why not?
Food is good, Jerry. You're not going to complain about food, are you?
Yes.
Okay, I'll tell you what, Jerry.
You think I got the 315 pounds without food?
I'll just tell you, Jerry, if it makes you feel better. From sundown tomorrow to an hour past sundown the following day, I'm not going to eat any food.
That doesn't make me feel better.
I'm not going to drink anything either.
Whoa, like not even water?
Nope, no water. Nothing. Nada. Yep,
definitely not making me feel better.
Okay, I do that every year. That's pretty much the essence of Yom Kippur. Anyway, on that pleasant note, just...
And for how long do you do this?
Between 25 and 26 hours, why?
Oh, that's not bad.
No, not too bad. But there's a lot of praying. Yom Kippur has more religious services than any Jewish holiday. On a standard day, you have 3 services, morning, afternoon, and evening. On a holiday, they add an extra service, also on a Saturday. And Yom Kippur is the only time when there are 5 services. And you don't get to eat. Yay.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah. And I will just contemplate that for a moment and say goodnight to everyone.
Good night, everyone.
And we will again resume next Wednesday. Oh, I almost forgot. Next Wednesday is supposed to be, which is the 3rd. The 3rd? Did I miss a week? Which one's the 3rd? Yeah, it's. Anybody have a calendar? The next Wednesday is the 3rd, right?
Looking.
I'm sorry. I wanted to get that thing. Okay, on the 3rd, we are scheduled for a show with the people over at Droid Nation, a combined show at 10 o'clock on Wednesday. Did I tell you what happened last week, Jerry, apparently?
Nope.
Well, the Door-to-Door Geek told me. Apparently, they thought that the combined show was last week and none of them showed up.
That's not encouraging.
We'll be here, though. But let's see if on Friday, if we could actually get that mumble server thing tested.
That would be good.
Remind me. Hopefully... because from 8 to 10 on Friday morning, I have the cable guy rescheduling. Hopefully, everybody hope that he does not get into any fender benders on the way here and that his travels go unmolested.
Or that they get you a technician that can drive.
I don't know. It could have been the other guy's fault. I don't want to assume that my cable guy is a bad driver. But everybody send positive energy.
By and large, an accident requires 2 people to not be paying attention. There are, of course, exceptions to this, but by and large, it's just the way it is.
Okay, I will accept that. I just wanted to say for the record.
Especially if he listens to our podcast.
How would he know who I am?
Ah, good point.
He probably had a lot of customers that day. Anyway, basically, as I said, what we come down to is I'm worried because someone called me on my cell phone from Time Warner Cable. I recognize the number, but didn't leave a message. I'm worried they're calling to cancel my appointment.
Why would they do that?
I don't know, but according to the cable franchise agreement in New York City, if I understand it correctly, if they fail to show up for an appointment, they owe me a month's service free.
Wow.
I intend on taking care of that after they actually provide service. And if they don't want to do that, I'll accept something free. Free is good.
Like a postcard?
No, like a month of something. You know, they used to inconvenience me all the time and offer me HBO. Now, whenever you're inconvenienced, all they offer you is Showtime. They've really gone downhill in their offerings.
Have they?
I don't know. I can't stand Showtime. Oh. At least HBO occasionally has some original programming.
And there's like a gazillion channels.
It's the principle of the matter. They used to occasionally, as a gesture, offer me something. It's not like I wanted Showtime or I wanted HBO or I wanted Cinemax. It was nice to know that they cared enough to say, okay, here's this gesture to show that we care. Personally, I'd rather take the money and run, but I know they don't want to give me the money. So even though I don't necessarily use the channel, it was nice to know that occasionally they would say, fine, we inconvenienced you. Here is a gesture to show that we value you as a customer.
Lies. It's all lies.
You say so. You're a Comcast customer, so I'm not going to comment on that.
Comcast loves me.
Yeah, but they don't necessarily have the best reputation for customer service either.
Nope.
Okay. With that pleasant note, we look forward to hearing your voicemails, emails, and other forms of communication. You can send us a video, but this is our audio program, so while we will watch it, it may not be appreciated by everybody.
But it will be appreciated by us.
Yeah, we'll link to it. But we can play the audio during the program, but people will not necessarily get the full effect. So we look forward to seeing you next week when we will hopefully do a combined show with the Droid Nation crew.
On Wednesday, not Monday.
Yes, Wednesday at 10 p.m. An extra special time that will be next week and the subsequent week, after which we will resume our normally scheduled programming. Right, Jer?
That's what I'm told.
That's what I'm told, too. And remember, you still have a chance to win a Frequency Agile digital video modulator with triple channels.
And who wouldn't want that?
Yeah, I have to find the manual. It was amusingly translated. You know, hold down button till light scintillates. It was obviously run through Google Translate or something like that. This is what happens when you buy stuff on eBay. Anyway, have a nice week, everybody, and good night, Jerry.
Scintillating night.
No, scintillating button.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Good night, folks.
Good night.